Good evening.
Good evening.
Hope you're well.
I am, and you?
Baruch Hashem, I am.
Baruch Hashem. Well, I'm going to go on mute now.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi, Aaron.
We are on section 64 of Bereshit Bet, and we're going to be starting to read verse 369. And we'll start with L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabari Fu Ishkinte Bit Hiluur Himud Hiluud Hiluur Himu. Le'achta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe B'Yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayihino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadenu karanei aleinu ma'asei yadenu karaneihu. Tachatzei bekol atar de'la ishtachu de'kar de'nukva. Kachada kutsha barichu la'ashawei v'doreya. Behahu atar uvir kan la ishtachachu ela batar de ishtachach dekar benukva diktiv vayivarech otam vayikra et shemam adam bayom Habaram velakitiv vayivarech oto vayikra et shemo adam ta'afilu adam laikre ela dekar venukva kachada. Come and see. The Holy One, blessed be He, cannot reside in a place where there are no male and female togethers. Blessings can be found only in a place where male and female are together. As it is written, and He blessed them and called their name man. The Hebrew word is Adam. On the day when they were created, it was not said that He blessed him and called him man. This teaches us that He was not even called by the name of man, except as a male and female combined. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, on the surface level, it looks like it's clear as red, but what about the situations, you know, if one's partner dies or a divorce. Now we have widows and widowers.
There's no such thing in the spiritual level.
Okay.
Because the soul never dies. So you're just you're transforming the physical situation, which is tikkun, which is correction, to a spiritual level where the correction is achieved already.
Okay.
And on the spiritual level, your cosmic soulmate is with you, not necessarily the person you're married to in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, you always have to remember the physical is an illusion. So a widow is not a widow. Her physical husband died, but on the spiritual level, there's still her cosmic soulmate, and that the two of them never die. They're always connected.
Mm-hmm. I guess what made me think along the lines I was thinking was because of a friend of mine who lives in Israel, and he didn't marry until his late 50s, and It was because he knew that he needed a wife, or he felt he needed a wife. And I guess that's what, you know, he felt like, oh, I don't know how it's worded, but that you aren't complete without being married.
Well, this verse expresses it very clearly. You're not a man. You're not Adam without a female. Now, there are other words in Hebrew for man. There's
Ish.
There's Enosh. There's Geber. All of these are words for men, but they're words generally for a man, with not including the female.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say, if you use the word Adam in the context of humanity, of a man,
mm-hmm.
it means male and female. And that's right. Really what the book is expressing to us.
Okay.
Verse 370, unless there are other questions or comments. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Miyoma Ve'it Harav Ve'i Maktisha Birkan La Yishtachu Ve'alma Ve'it Avidu Ve'kol Yoma Diktiv Hatzidik Avad, my Avad, Avad Birkan, Tahawo Sharyan, Deyakimadiktiv, Virahot Larosh, Sadik Uktiv Avda, the Emuna, Kegavna Dakativ, Vayavarech. Otam Ukti Vayavarech Otam Elohim. Rabbi Yehuda said that ever since the destruction of the temple, there are no blessings on earth, and they are lost every day. As it is written, the righteous perishes. What is the meaning of perishes? It is that the blessings that used to dwell in the righteous perished, as in the words, blessings are on the head of the righteous. And truth has perished, meaning the nukva, which receives blessings from Yesod of Zeranpin, the righteous, which is the secret of the male. Similarly, at the time of perfection, it is written, and Elohim blessed them and called their name Adam, because they were whole. Questions, comments, thoughts? Is it a little confusing?
Well, it's like two different thoughts in the one, well, more than two, but almost like two different sections in the one verse. I was trying to reread it over again.
I understand. Take your time.
I don't understand why they're mentioning the destruction of the temple. I mean, I know we lost a lot. We lost since the destruction of the temple, but I mean, it's like we've gone from creation of man, and now we're into even another era with the temple being destroyed. A lot of time passed.
What was the purpose of the temple? The temple was created as to bring people closer to Hashem, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The temple was created as a tikkun, a correction, of the sin of the golden calf. All that, the separation of male and female, was because of the sin of Adam and Chava. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Cain was born with a wife, his twin sister, who was his soulmate. There was no separation. Abel was born with the two women. One was his soulmate, and one was a higher level soulmate for Cain. But they were, you know, the triplets. There was no separation between male and female. Yes, there is separation in that a woman is separate from a man and a man is separate from a woman. But the closeness, the ability to be close, that changed when the temple was lost. When a woman dies, God forbid, and she goes to the judgment day, she doesn't get reincarnated. She gets sent to Gehinnom. She gets sent to hell to be cleansed. And then she returns to the Garden of Eden. All women. There's no change in that process, to my knowledge. But when she chooses and agrees to come back down into the world, if she came down as pure as she was in the Garden of Eden, the man would have absolutely no affinity with her. There would be no sense of connection. There would never be a marriage. But through Hashem's mercy, the woman accepts part of the correction of the man, part of the things he has to correct, she accepts upon herself. She does that out of her mercy. She does that out of speeding the process. She does that for whatever reasons. But she always comes into the world slightly elevated to the man, enough that they can be connected and there can be a connection between them and that they can find their way to get married. But not, you know, clearly they're not, you know, the woman is always higher spiritually than the man. But that's all related to the temple bringing people closer together. It's all related to the sin of Adam. It's all one. While it appears, as you were saying earlier, that it seems like it's two different sections, two different generations, it's not. Is that clear now, or is it still confusing?
No, it's clear. I basically said that in the teaching last week, because you can see the same things appearing, just maybe in a different form or with a few different words, but it's still the same thing. In other words, right now we don't have the tabernacle, but yet you open up the Torah scroll and the names of the page or the parchment sheet and the columns and the vav that's on each one all have the same names that parts of the tabernacle had. And so it's still, you know, it's there. It's just in a different form for your eyes, you know, to see. The same thing every time a holy day comes around. You know, you have the same energy. You have, you know, basically, I hate to say theme. I don't think it's quite the word theme, but I guess energy is probably the better word. Still available to us if we want them to be.
Yeah, I haven't found a better word than energy.
But
I'm looking because the New Age people use the word energy, and for many people it puts them off when you use the word energy, because they don't really understand metaphysical energy. They're not sensitive to it yet.
I used to say themes, but themes just doesn't fit it anymore with the studying of Kabbalah. This time of perfection, does that mean when men and women come together, or is it referring to something else?
Well, in my opinion, it's read the verses. The righteous, which is the secret of the male, period.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, at the time of perfection, it is written, and Elohim blessed them and called their name Adam. So
right.
It's referring to Adam and Chava in unity prior to the sin. That's
okay.
Why it's called the time of perfection. If we were to look at the Aramaic, it would be, if it was in Hebrew, we'd be looking at the word tam, complete, at the time of completion.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't say completion referring to that before the Adam and Eve before the sin. But they were perfect. They were receiving everything. Yes, they had to grow, but they were, you know, relatively speaking, they were perfect. They were complete. Should I go on?
Yes, go on. Do at least another verse.
Okay. Verse 371. Mished ityachasu kol darei alma v'kol inun sadike kishot tahawo v'alma amar rabbi yosei ilein atvan Bat Rain Dahawo Beoraita Ishtahu Bitar Davar Adam Al Adwan Dioraita Kalo Uvich Yoteya Bekame Marea Ahed Bilin Tirein umikdain itchadru adwan lemafreya baseder tashrik. It is to Seth that the generations of earth and all the truly righteous of the world trace their descent. Rabbi Yossi said that those two final letters of the Torah, the Shin and the Tav, were left intact even after Adam had transgressed against all the letters of the Torah, because the sin of the tree of knowledge affected the whole Torah. And when he repented before his master, he cleaved to those two letters, Shin and Tav, which had remained whole, and at that point, the original letters returned in the reverse order of the Tav Shin, Resh, Kuf, and so on. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Why would it have been just those two letters? I can see the Shin. The Shaddai, well, I know it's his name, and I know saying that all generations trace their descent there is because they had Seth after they, whenever Adam and Hava were descended into the physical world.
There are many reasons why the Shin and the Tav. First off, the Gematria is 700. And if you add one kolel for each of the letters, it becomes 702, which is the gematria of Shabbat.
Oh, okay.
And Shabbat is correct.
Oh, I get it now. You're going to probably get a bet in there somewhere.
Well, I explained what, how you did the kolel. You can add a kollel for each word, and you can add a kollel for each letter.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but if you have Shin and Tav, and they come together and have a family, there's your bet.
Correct.
Coming in and being Shaban. Okay.
Right. And then if you put the two letters together, Shin and Tav, that spells the name Chet, Seth.
Mm-hmm.
So he was born and named Seth, meaning perfection, meaning the only two letters that were left. So the first 20 letters of the alphabet were affected by the sin, but the last two were not. Now, why 20 and not 22? Because 20 represents the 10 sephirot of light and the 10 sephirot of returning light.
Right.
But the last two were left unaffected. And so then what happened, he makes teshuvah, and then the letters have to return. Because what it's really hinting at is when the sin took place, the letters of the Torah flew. They left.
Right.
They weren't going to stay around to be involved in this chet, in this sin. So now that they've left, now they have to return because he's done teshuvah, so they have to return. Because everything is subservient to man. So Adam does teshuvah, and the letters have to return, but it's not the same.
Right, because they're in reverse order this time.
Exactly. And that's when you remember the Midrash about the letters that was in the preface in the Zohar. They came back in reverse order. First the Taf, and then the Shin, and then the Resh, and then the Kuf, and so forth. So that, why did they come back in reverse order? It doesn't answer it in the Midrash. It doesn't answer it in the preface. But here you're getting the answer.
But maybe they came back whenever they received the Torah. Then they came back in the right order that time.
Because the Torah itself was, before the sin, was there is a Torah also, isn't there? God created the world. He created all the world using the Torah as a blueprint. But then Adam sins and it hurt, transgressed, it affected all of the 20 letters and they left. So now they have to build a new Torah that is appropriate for the lower levels, and that has to come in reverse order to represent the teshuvah, the returning, and the returning light. All of that is built into this pasuk.
When you're talking about the letters of the alphabet, I hate for us to stop.
Say again?
I said, I hate to see us stop at this point when we're on the letters of the alphabet.
Well, maybe I stopped because I ran out of things to say.
Oh. Well, I had said one more verse, but I'd like another one.
Well, we're gonna do another one. We still have a few minutes, so.
Okay,
and as I said, for this section, there's a lot of material, as you can see.
Yeah.
372. Ugin kach kara lehu bira deit yaled leyadihu bidmuto betzalmo shet deinun siuma deatvan bila. Itakanu advan adkaimu Israel altura de Sinai Ugdin. Ukdein achadru advan al tikunaihu keyoma deit beriu shamaim varets beit basam alma bekaima al kiumeya. He then called the son he begot on in his own likeness, after his image. Seth, a name composed of the last two letters of the alphabet, and the only two letters with which he was left. The order of the letters was not fully constructed, that is, properly ordered, until Israel stood at Mount Sinai. Then the letters returned to their proper order, the order they had when heaven and earth were created, the order in which they appeared before the sin of the eating of the tree of knowledge. Then the world was appeased and more securely established. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, it seems clear as stated. And
it
I'm
does.
Glad they said what I thought, because I hadn't read that before, and that the letters came back in order at the receiving of the Torah. So.
Correct. But it's also, it's giving rise to the Midrash that I know, but you may have forgotten in this context. Because the letters of the Torah were not in order, meaning they weren't in the words. And it wasn't until the Torah was given that they fell into the order of the five books of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't know what the meaning of the sacrifices, what were they needed. Because in the upper world, the sacrifices are in a slightly different way. There's a Torah in the upper worlds, and we really don't know what that is. And there's a Torah that we have, which is for this world of correction. It's not the Torah of the upper worlds. It's a difference. But the number of letters is the same. The distribution of the letters, so many aleph, so many bets, so many gimels, that's the same. It doesn't change. But the words change. And the meaning changes. And the actions change. People don't understand that. They get these snippets. Oh, there's another Torah in the higher worlds. But you don't have to worry about it till you complete your tikkun. But if you don't know what you're trying to achieve, why achieve it? You know, and that's why many people don't miss Mashiach. They don't miss the temple. They don't realize what they've lost. What they've lost is the higher Torah that got rearranged.
Words that have letters missing, they'll reappear?
Well, you mean the words that don't have the vavs, those kind of things?
Yes. Or, you know, a certain character got an extra letter, so would that letter... I mean, has to be something, because we know when Sarah and Abraham got their haze from Hashem's name, which made 10, that it was exchanged for a yod that went to Joshua, who then became Yehoshua. So we know they move.
They do. They move.
Some
but they move.
And some get taken away because whatever the person, some action the person in the physical world performed, and maybe lost a letter, God forbid, but...
Well, you can't lose the letter. There's no disappearance in spirituality. There's,
well, it goes somewhere. That's why I gave you that example of the two Hays from...
It goes somewhere. The yud is exchanged for two Hays.
Mm-hmm. And then Joshua got the yud, the ten.
Right. So it's all there. But to answer the question that I asked for you, we have many words in the Torah that connecting, like the vav, you know, a parasha starts with the vav, indicating that it's an and such and such. It's it's indicating that it's connecting to the previous parasha. The end of the previous parasha is being connected to by that vav that begins the new one.
But yet there are a few columns that don't have a vav. I think there's five, I think.
Yes, six actually. Because the sixth one isn't a vav, but is a vav. And that's very confusing to people.
Yeah.
But the real issue is those vavs. There's no need to teach it. There's no need in the Upper Torah to have a vav at the beginning of a parasha. There's no need to connect it to the previous thing because everything is connected. And the illusion isn't separating it. It's always connected. And so those vavs will go into the words and complete those words with the missing vavs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one example of what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many others. You have words that, you know, we read them one way, but they're written another way.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no need for that illusion. So what's the way it's written is going to change to the way we read it.
And what will happen to the final letters? What will they become? Do we know
all
that?
All of the letters will become final letters.
Okay.
And if you look at each letter that and then look at the final letter form, you can literally see how those letters become the final letters from the same letter. For example, the pei and the pei sofit. The pei looks, you know, it has the top and the bottom and the side and a little bit of the other side, but you can see how it'll form the final letter pei very easily. And you can do that with the mem as well, the open mem and the closed mem, and that's very easy. Mm-hmm. And the nun, you can see how the lines will just form into a line that runs below the line. I'm using a duplicate, but it's a different word. Mm-hmm.
The baseline, I call it.
The baseline. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at all of the final letters, you can see how they're formed from the regular letter. And so in the higher Torah, in the Torah of the upper worlds, there are no regular letters in those. There's just the one form. But the one form, each of those final letter forms, has two sounds, just as it's supposed to.
So fascinating.
As we can see, we will pick up tomorrow. No, not tomorrow. It's Thursday. So we'll pick up next week. Verse
373. Okay. Thank you.
Shalom.
Okay, shalom.
Shalom, thank you.
And questions and answers at 7 p.m. West Coast time. Hopefully someone will bring a question.